most, you know, 2 or 3 year olds didn't do that. Hopefully, as spirit-led parents, which we're going to be talking about at our conference March 19th, and if you're listening to this on teaching, you can get the teaching on inner healing restores relationships, because that should be out sometime right after the conference. It's from 10 o'clock to 5:30. It's going to be really good. God's given me a lot of teaching for it. But here's the thing. You don't remember this stuff, but Satan strategically planned to destroy you with it. So I said, Lord, I don't remember at all being a little kid, being jealous of my brothers and my sisters. I just don't remember it. And I don't remember a lot of these things from my childhood. But that's cool because God does. And so I just closed my eyes. I said, Lord, heal that hurt place in me. So we're going to do that right now. So in faith, let's close our eyes. Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. I feel the Holy Spirit's presence just falling into place on those who are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, to those who are open in their hearts to be healed. Father, we just ask you to get this hurt place of jealousy out from deep, deep in the very core of our beings. Whether we were the first child, the middle child, the last child from a second family, the first family, whatever it was, God, when all the dynamics changed in our family, whether there was a new boyfriend for the mom or whatever, whatever came to change the dynamics of the family, and we had to share the attention or things changed in the attention that we were getting. We ask you to heal that right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to heal that. And here's what the Lord's showing me. I want you to see yourself as a little baby. And if you know specifically of the times or time when a sibling was born or when everything changed, it could have even been, and let me say this can go through different stages. So just go back to the earliest one that you can think could have happened or that God is showing you. And I want you to see yourself. For a lot of you, I see you in a crib. And you're just a little toddler yourself. For some of you, I actually see you in the crib. And you didn't get it, but you knew you were getting all the attention. And all of a sudden, a brother or sister came in, a little brother or sister. And all of a sudden, mom's attention went towards them. And even as a little tiny baby, you knew you weren't getting the attention. There was a fear. There was a fear that you wouldn't get the attention. There was a fear that your needs wouldn't be met. There was a fear that came. There was a fear that came that you couldn't trust that you would always be taken care of. For some of you, you had extreme conditions. There was a lot of neglect and abuse in your lives, so this fear was stronger and made stronger as things happened in your life. But here's what I want you to see. First, we're going to go as that little baby. And I want you to just see yourself. You don't have to see a really good picture of yourself or anything, but just see that little baby in the crib and know it's you. And Lord, I thank you. You're going to take away that fear. For some of you, it's a very severe, very strong fear. Some of you were left in your crib for 4 or 5 hours. Crying and screaming. Some of you were screamed at. Some of you was just a fear because a brother or sister came in and all of a sudden you weren't important, or dad came home and now you lost the attention. Whatever it is, you know something's changed. And as you're sitting there in that fear, I just want you to see Jesus. He's coming over to the crib and he's looking down at you and he's picking you up. And he's saying, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I can be at all places at all times. I can be right here with you, and right there with your brother, and right there with your mother, and right there with your sister, and right there with your father, and right there with your neighbor. I can be all places at one time. I am not limited. because of my Spirit. So I speak right now the peace that passes understanding, the peace that we didn't even know was missing in our life. I speak that peace right now into that fear. His perfect love has taken away that fear, the unconditional love, the unconditional protection of God. Lord, that you would surround us in it right now in Jesus' name. That you would surround us in it right now in Jesus' name. That you would bring healing, God. Now, Father, I know the enemy hurt people. I know the enemy attacked people. Now, Lord, you're teaching them how to come to you and get healing for that. But now, Lord, we're going down to the areas where we can't even remember. By your Spirit, everything that I just said about God and who he is and his faithfulness is true. So nothing was spoken that wasn't true. For he is truth. And now I just keep seeing this for some of you. And we can all receive it. If you have an older brother or sister or somebody else came in to take the attention, I see the older brother. In this case, I just see an older brother. But it could be a sister. And I see them looking in and seeing mom over the crib. And I see them kind of coming up and looking in the bars of the crib like, ugh, I used to get this attention. Like, not even knowing, but knowing something's changed. And I even see you pulling on your mom's, you know, leg like, hey. Even to the point where some of you got yelled at or some of you got shushed or some of you were told to leave the room. So the Lord is giving me this picture. You see yourself coming up to that crib. You were all excited about the baby, maybe because everybody made such a big deal about it and how much you were going to be a great brother or sister and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, it's not fun anymore. And as you're standing, maybe sometimes it was, but there were times that it wasn't. But this time, as you start to pull on that pants leg or that skirt, like, hey, I want you to see Jesus. And he's turning to you. And at the same time, by his Spirit, he's leaning over to the baby. It's like just see Jesus coming both ways because he's all places at all time. And I see him, he's reaching down and he's looking you in the face and he's going, hey, nothing's changed between me and you. I'll always be with you. I'll never leave you. I can be with you and I can be with your brothers. I can be with your sisters, your mother and your father all at the same time. So you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to try to get all the attention. You don't have to think that something's wrong with you. You don't have to want to be your sister. You don't have to want to be your brother. Just be who I've made you to be. And I speak wholeness right now into those places in Jesus' name. I speak the wholeness of God to come in right now in Jesus' name. Now, Father, for everyone who knows you, who's been able to receive, I speak right now in the name of Jesus that these hurt places would be completely healed, these hurt memories completely healed, where fear could hide. It has no authority any longer and has to loose you now in Jesus' name by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Whoa, ha. And we send all those spirits of fear and all to the pit in Jesus' name. And I speak wholeness right now. And I speak that place that was wounded and hurt and full of fear right now. And this is some people you've had fear your whole life and you don't know why. And God's healing it tonight. I speak now that person would be made whole and become who they are in Christ. To the revelation that they walk in Christ, that part of them would now be made whole and move into that revelation. And I speak it in the name of Jesus. His perfect love casts out fear. That's his word. His unconditional, perfect love takes away the fear, even to these places. Now, Father, we speak it over everything that happened in the womb. We speak it over this baby in Michelin's belly right now. In the name of Jesus, we speak your perfect love to take out the fear, your divine protection. And we just receive it right now in faith. We just receive in faith all the places where we felt unsafe, all the places where we felt any kind of fear. Lord, thank you for those who didn't have that. But God, in case there was just a little tiny place, we just ask you to go and heal it right now. And we speak wholeness in the name of Jesus. We speak wholeness in the name of Jesus. We give you praise for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Makes you just want to rest, doesn't it? I know this might seem kind of wacky to you, but get over it. It's time to get free. It's time to know that Satan strategically has wounded us and God wants to heal us. And I really encourage you, if at all possible, if the Lord makes a way, to ask the Holy Spirit to make a way to pray this over other people in your family. To just release this kind of healing. And you don't have to be really strange about that. Just say, I just want to pray for you a minute. Or just put your hand on and say, Lord, I just thank you for this child. God, I just thank you for this child. Lord, heal every hurt place in them that thinks that they were not loved. Hurt every place in them that they were afraid because they had a brother or sister come along. Or every place in them, Lord, I ask that you heal that right now. Every place in them where there wasn't peace because of things the enemy was doing in her home, I ask that they bring peace right now in Jesus' name. And get over it if they push your hand back or make fun of you or whatever. Who cares? Truthfully, who cares? I'm going to speak what God says to speak by his Spirit and his power into the lives of everybody that I can. And whether they act like they believe it or not, if I do it in faith and I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit, it's going to produce fruit. The fruit of peace and joy and righteousness. That knowing that I'm okay, that I'm loved by God, that knowing that I am at peace with God. And let me tell you, the Lord's going to teach you other things where the enemy has attacked you or your family or your spouse. He's going to show you other places, and he just wants you to be yielded and obedient. Just yielded and obedient. You don't have to do it the way someone else does it. Just trust God to give you the words. The Bible says that if you say yes to God, he will give you the words you need when you need them. Just don't overhype it spiritual where they think you've just gone nuts. And if you've done that, go and repent and ask God to heal that. But we want to really undo the works of the enemy. We want to undo the works of the enemy. You know, sometimes it's easier to make a phone call. I can't tell you the amount of times I've called my sons and said, I just got to pray something. Lord, show me this. Just humor your mother. What can it hurt? You know, what can it hurt? And then they'd really be quiet and there would really be a change. See, I'm not ministering to their soul. I'm ministering to their spirit. I'm speaking so their soul can understand it, so that any lies that have been planted in their soul can be broken. But it's their spirit. And that's why you speak it to their spirit. You speak it to those hurt places. And you can do this at home to yourself in the presence of God. I'm telling you, we wouldn't have so many people on antidepressants in the church. We wouldn't have so many people with mental illness in the church. We wouldn't have so many people going through divorce. We wouldn't have so much crazy stuff. And we wouldn't have people running to all the new age counterfeit of this. But we'd really have that love, that joy, that peace, that goodness, that kindness, that long-suffering. And I just want to say this. Get rid of, we talked about this Sunday morning, break those inner vows. Anything you said, I would never do. If you ever said, I would never do that, Satan had you say that. Except by God's grace, you would do anything that someone else has done. And if you took a vow not to do something that God wants you to do, you want to break that because you want God in charge of your life, don't you? I hope. If you're here on Tuesday night, more than likely you want God in charge of your life. So take away where you got him, where you give Satan authority in your life. He has that authority until you take it away from him and give it back to Christ. I said I'd never be bold, or I'd never do this, I'd never do that. Satan has no authority with how what I'm going to be. I take that from you. Get out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give it to you. I will say what you want me to say. I will do what you want me to do. I will go where you want me to go. I want you in charge of my life. I want you in charge of my life, and I want to hear you, and I want the faith to obey you, and I want to walk it out. I'm just going to do this little tiny, finish this off with this thing on bitterness the Lord just showed me. It's probably not about any of you. It may just be me. But I was just like, Lord, thank you for doing that. I didn't even know I was jealous. See, if you think you're superior, you don't get it. That was your way of handling being jealous. If you think you were inferior, that was your way of handling being jealous. So if you've got either one of those going, and break that down. Do you have that going? Well, no. What do you mean, no? Do you think you're better than them? Well, do you think you make better choices than them? Do you think your life is better than theirs? Did you do everything better than them? Be honest about it. Break those judgments. Ask God to forgive you. Every person is different. People have different callings. You're not better than someone else because they're living in different housing than you. What does God want them to be? Where does He want them to be at? So as the Lord was, I said, well, Lord, where did that thing going all the way back to when I was a baby, where did that have to do with this bitterness that you said I have in my heart? What do you mean I have bitterness in my heart? And Lord, why are you telling me all this when I asked you about why am I critical with some of these ministers? And He said, well, bitterness, even when it's hidden, really goes back to, I don't like the way you're doing this, God. I don't like the way you're doing this. And many times bitterness really comes from blaming God for what the devil's doing, okay? So we need to repent of that. It's a terrible thing to blame God for what the devil's doing. But it doesn't hurt the devil. He doesn't care. And really, God is beyond being wounded by us. But it puts that bitterness in us and our lack of understanding God. And also, we don't reveal Christ to other people correctly. But the other thing the Lord showed me for me, because of the jealousy that was planted way, way back, and because I took on feeling superior to handle it, which we've dealt with all that, it's all in teaching, what happened is when God would open doors for other ministers who, in my high-minded way of handling things, and my feeling superior, my judgment would be, even if I wouldn't say it out loud, and even if I didn't dwell on it or think about it much, my judgment would be based on all of this. I could do that better. Or why didn't you open the doors for me? And the Lord says, every time you thought, why don't you open the doors for me, that's bitterness. Every time you're at question, why not for me? Husbands, maybe your wife got more sensitive to the Holy Spirit before you. A lot of times that's how it works. Because women are much more, I believe we're just more geared to number one, be submissive, and number two, to want to be the bride of Christ, to want to yield to God, to want God to come into our situations. Men take on much more tougher roles of handling life themselves. Part of it's cultural. Part of it's just how are you culture? How have you been brought up? You got to be tough. You got to do this. You got to do that. And so to think you need God and to think you need to yield to God, you know, that's easier for women for the most part. So many times women will enter into the relationship with God sooner than men. Not always, but many times. And then they will begin to move into the things of God because it doesn't bother them. They're not trying to be macho. They're not trying to act like that's foolishness. They don't think, women think with their whole brain, they're much usually more sensitive and not this. There are exceptions, but overall they think with their left and their right side and they're more into the creative, and so all of this God stuff can be kind of cool. Where men overall think with the, you know, one side of their brain and they're more analytical and more intellectual and they've got to figure out and understand it all, and how can I understand and figure out this God? And so you have these things going that can cause you to do inner vows. It can cause you, I don't want to be like her, or I'm not going to compete with her, all this kind of mess. Okay, so that's actually can get to bitterness. Like, why is this happening for her? Or I'm not going to do this for her or whatever. And so God wants you to just go. He knows how He makes us. Okay, he did not mess up when He made women think a certain way and men think a certain way. We're going to talk about that on the conference on March 19th because God knows what He's doing and we're all wonderfully made. But He also knows that He tells the wife to submit to the husband as unto the Lord, because that's going to kill her. That's going to kill her flesh. That's going to kill her advantages, so to speak, of moving in the things of God because she's more open. And then he's going to tell the husband, lay down your life and die for her and make her first. And he can only do that as he listens to God and he gets direction from God. So God has this whole thing set up in a way. I said this on the radio today a little bit, but it's older teaching. He kind of did every, relationships are really to kill us in the flesh so that we can be who we're to be in the spirit. In other words, he wants us to have his kind of relationships, not the kind of relationship the world has. He wants us to love him and know that we need him. He doesn't want us to need him. We do need him. He wants us to get the revelation we need him. He wants the husbands to get the revelation. I need God. I need God to be the head of this household or the head of my wife. I need God to know how to minister. I need God to know how to raise up godly children. I need God. And then she thinks she's got it all together, but I'm the one who God's holding, you know, accountable for this, and I just need God. And then she's, you know, a lot of times got all this other stuff going, and so there's the judgmental and this. So you got bitterness here. God, you know, I feel like a failure with this, and why did you make her like this, and why is this all happening, and why can't I just do this? And then you have her being bitter. God, why isn't he being more spiritual? Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing that? Well, God's made everybody the way he's made them because he knows she's going to have to die to thinking she's superior, to thinking she could do this better, to holding the sin as being her right and him wrong. And he's going to have to die to having to humble himself before the Lord because he's going to think it's before her. And see, God's got these dramas going because in these dramas, what he's getting at is, do you want me? And do you want me because I know you need me? Now, will you yield to me? And will you humble yourself before me, even if it's going to hurt your pride, because it's going to look like you're humbling yourself before her? Because God hates pride. Pride sets you up for a fall. Pride is independence from God. Pride is basically, I'm going to do this my way. I'm going to make inner vows. I'm going to do this. And it's a bitter thing. It's a bitter thing to have pride. God, I don't like how you're doing this. I don't like how she found you first, or it could be he found you first. I don't like how this is happening. I don't like this. And if she would just do this, what a mess. At the same time, God's sitting over here saying, who are you to judge? Who are you to criticize? Who are you? You're not in charge here. But, I mean, women can really try to be the Holy Spirit. And no, men, you do not need to say amen loudly. But in that place, it's because she's seen things different. And God's going, no, you're just going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me that I'll work in him. You're going to have to trust me that I'll bring him to the church I want him at when I want him there. You're going to have to trust me. So she's dying because, but if he could just do this, it could be easier. And then she gets all this teaching that makes her full of fear. Oh, God, if he doesn't pray for the kids, we're all going to go to hell. And why isn't he doing this? And what's... pray for us. What's wrong with you? And that's all bad doctrine. He's over here. I'm not praying for her. I don't know how to say those kind of words, and I'm not competing with that. And you get this big mess, and you got bitterness here and bitterness there, and you got a lot of marriages in the body of Christ looking pretty bad. And all the Lord is like, you know, I made you in such a way. I've given you my word. I've set everything up so that you have to yield to me and to my timing, and you have to love. You have to love and deal with all these things. And to the man, I made you in my likeness, in my image, and you've got to love her the way I have to love my church. And you've got to let go of the world's way of doing things. You've got to let go of what your friends are going to say. You've got to let go of what she's going to say. You've got to do this as unto me. So God's working out all these things. So the Lord just showed me, in all these situations, there's bitterness. Now for me, I was like, Lord, you know, I've been this with all my junk. Lord, you know I'm called. Lord, you know I'm anointed. Lord, I've been casting out demons for years. I've seen people healed for years. I've seen babies raised from the dead in the womb for at least 9 years or 10 years ago. You know, Lord, I've seen this, I've seen that. God, I move in the Holy Spirit, I move in the gifts. This is happening, that is happening. I've seen angels, all these things. But God, you're opening the door for them. They don't even speak in tongues. And then that, and the whole time God's like, why does that bother you? Just like to the husband, why does that bother you? Why does that bother you that she's praying like this? Why does that bother you that this is happening? Why does that bother you? Why does that bother you? That's the question. Why does it bother you? Where's that jealousy coming from? Where's that bitterness coming from? And it can be about friends. It can be about anything. I'm just giving you some examples to kind of open up your thinking. And I can already tell the Holy Spirit's just popping little things in your head where it applies to you. Now, how do we get out of all this mess? And there's other things. But in this case, you have to see it. And I said, God, he said, Cindy, you have bitterness towards me because you don't like the way I've chose to train you up. You don't like the way I've chose to make you wait. You don't like the way I've chosen what I have for you to bring to the body of Christ. So you have that jealousy from when you were a baby. And now you're bitter towards me because that jealousy is aimed at these other ministers. And oh my gosh, when the Lord shows you this stuff, I mean, this is like 2 days ago, or maybe yesterday. You just sit there and go, wow. And here's what happens with me. I'm like, how could you love me so much? And how could you still anoint me? And how could you still let me minister to anybody? And how could you give me such a wonderful husband and great kids? And how could you give me such a wonderful staff at BFA and just such relationships and people that come? How could you do it? God, I don't deserve anything. Here, I just see things so wrong. But God, you are so good. Your goodness is amazing to me. Your faithfulness is unbelievable. Father, forgive me for being bitter towards you and your timing. Forgive me for being bitter towards who you put in position and how you set things up. Forgive me. Forgive me. And I just renounce this jealousy and I command this bitterness to come out in Jesus' name. God, everything you do is perfect. And you are right, God. And you know what you're doing. And just forgive me, God. And help me to love those, God, that you opened the door for and that I would never want to see them fall. Some people, we've even wanted to see our own spouses, our own parents, our close friends, or coworkers fail in some way. And we don't even know why, but there's that jealousy that was planted there way back. And there's that bitterness because we don't understand what God is really getting to and what he's after and how he's changing us. See, God wants to set us free from all that mess to just really love him. It's so powerful. Do you know how good it feels to get this junk out? And Jesus said, it's humbling. My goodness, isn't that amazing that God says he's going to humble us? He means it. He looks for a broken and contrite spirit. That means someone who's not all about themselves anymore. No, somebody who doesn't think they know everything and spiritual and controlling everything. It means broken to see who, what's really in you because of the enemy and how it's affected people. Brokenness is like, wow, God. How? You are so awesome. And then, Lord, I said, how can you love us so much? How can you love us so much? How can you still use us? How can you still use our prayers, you know, little quiet prayers or lifted up? How can you still, how do you do it? And he told me, first he's faithful even when we're not, but he said, I see everything through the work of the cross. I see everything through what you are. When you're free of all evil, I see everything of what you are like when you have my mind, when you think like I think, and when you understand who you really are in me. I just God, it's like this God just believes that he is big enough to set every person free in this room. And he's already paid to do it. He just wants us to yield to him doing that. So Father, tonight, we ask that you work in our hearts this week to get free from bitterness, to see it for what it is. It's a root. It's a root the enemy puts in us against you, God, against your ways, against your timing, against our situations that we find ourselves in. God, it's a root of bitterness to try to defile us, to try to make us jealous and keep us jealous, to try to cause us to miss what you have for our lives, to try to cause us not to understand you, to not to walk with you and be with you and know you intimately and do the things that you call us to do for your purposes and your glory. And we want you to set us free from all bitterness, God. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we just repent. If you agree, just say amen when I finish this. We just repent of letting bitterness cause us to defile relationships, to come against anything, God, that we do not by your Spirit. We ask you to set us free. We ask you to heal us. We ask you to deliver us completely. For Jesus, you have already undone the works of the enemy, and you sent your Holy Spirit, and he lives inside of every born-again believer so that he can do this work. Whew, of bringing forth that finished work of the cross. And we thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for what we're doing. And Lord, we thank you that you are humbling us. But it's a good feeling to be set free from pride and from evil and to be led by you. And so, Lord, help us. Give us grace to go to the hurt places. Give us grace to break through the lies. Give us grace to walk out the things that we already know you're putting on our heart to walk out by your power. And Lord, let us have that victory. And let us glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.